I'll give you a little bit of context. What's just happened is we've seen the person of Paul and what he's done. And it's absolutely remarkable what he's just been doing. He's been into towns and villages, he's been into Iconium, he's been into Lystra and Derbe, and he's gone really far travelling. And what happened in Iconium, there was plots to have him stoned. In Lystra and Derbe, he did get stoned, and he carried on and carried on. And we get to Acts 15, where basically there's this whole disagreement about the key truth of the gospel message. And they want to work out if actually being circumcised is really necessary for the Christian. So that's basically a little bit of context as to what's happening. And so Paul's just come down to Jerusalem, he's had this council, and then we drop in here to Acts 15, and George is going to read to us, Acts 15, verse 36 to 41.
Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the believers in all the towns where we preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it was wise to take him, because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the believers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches.
So, remember the context. Paul and Barnabas have been a team. They've been taking the gospel out to these churches. And they'd have been emotionally and physically battered by this point. They've been literally stoned out of cities. And they've come all the way down to Jerusalem. Hopefully there's a map coming up. Oh, that's a map of Albania. One will come up in a minute. But it's a really, really long way. They've gone from... there you go, that's me. There you go, here we go. They've gone from Lystra, Iconium and Derbe. They've gone all the way down to Jerusalem because of this disagreement that's happened. And then you read there at the beginning of that, verse 30, they go up to Antioch. So they'd have been emotionally battered. And we get to this passage, and there's probably one question that stuck out in your mind as we read it. What are we to make of this disagreement? Paul and Barnabas, they've been a team, but here they seem to have disagreed. Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. So there's Paul and Barnabas deciding who they're going to take with them on their next missionary journey. And there's this disagreement. Now, the question might be in your mind, well, let's try and work out who's at fault. Or let's try and work out who's right. Or let's try and work out exactly what they're arguing over. But the point of this little passage is not that we're to work out who's at fault for the disagreement. After all, it's Luke that's written this, and Luke's a very thorough writer. If he wanted us to understand exactly who was at fault, he'd surely have given us more details. And we can see that the point is not to work out who's at fault. Because in light of the context of what's happening around here in Acts, we see two things. Firstly, God will use people committed to the gospel for its spread. Remember, that's what Acts is about, isn't it? Acts 1 verse 8, Judea, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. It's about the spread of the gospel. And at points through the book of Acts, we see that the word of God continued to flourish and spread. Now, see here in verse 36 to 41, it might be easy to look and say, oh, well, what's this disagreement about? Who's at fault? How can we pick it apart? But do you notice what happens after the disagreement? They split and effectively become two working teams. See how that those couple of verses ended? He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. See, even in the face of what looks like a setback for the gospel, no, God continues to use it for his good, so that the word of the gospel will continue to flourish and spread. So, definitely in view is the spread of the gospel. But secondly, we see that actually being radically committed to the gospel, like Paul was, is really hard. We've seen in the last couple of chapters that it's been hard getting around. It's been hard being stoned out of cities. And here, in these couple of verses, we see actually it's hard even in relationships with other people that want to take the gospel out. See, for Paul, being radically committed to the gospel, it's really hard. And sometimes we don't like to face up to that. Sometimes we don't like to kind of get emotional about it. But here, Paul and Barnabas would have been great friends, team workers. And in this moment, we can't just forget that it must have been emotionally really quite hard. See, the point of Acts as a book is not to say these are the super apostles, and the point of this little chapter here is not to say Paul is a super Christian, but God is ultimately concerned with the spread of his gospel. And Paul is committed to that, and so he becomes part of that work. So the question there, we could be preoccupied with thinking, oh, let's get to the nitty-gritty, who's at fault? But that's not the purpose here. The purpose is to have our eyes on what's going on with the gospel, what's going on with the gospel workers. So then as we come to this next little passage, have a look at what question maybe stands out for you. Rob's going to read chapter 16, verses 1 to 5, just below.
Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they travelled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers.
You might have just glossed over the place names like I often do when I read the Bible. But here what's said is absolutely remarkable. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra. Remember, Paul was in Derbe, Lystra, Iconium. He got stoned out of those cities, and he went down to Jerusalem to settle the dispute about circumcision with the council. At that point, he realized that it was God's call on his life to go back up. And where does he end up in chapter 16? He goes back into Derbe and back into Lystra, the two places that stoned him out of the city. Now, he goes in and he looks for a new partner. He's obviously dropped Barnabas, and so he finds Timothy. And probably, I imagine, your question, as it was mine when I first read this passage, well, why then does Timothy need to be circumcised? Now, the point then, as we think about this little section, it's not that we try and find a theological reason as to exactly what about Timothy's life means that he has to get circumcised. But when we piece it together with what's just happened, I think it becomes pretty clear. See, the council that Paul went down to Jerusalem for, their verdict was that it was no longer necessary to be circumcised. So it seems a little bit odd that Paul comes straight back up and his first thing after that is delivered is to go and circumcise someone to join in the work. Well, what do we learn about Timothy? Have a look. There was a disciple named Timothy, lived whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. See, what's important about Timothy is he's already a believer. It's very clear that his salvation is sorted. And also he's reputable in the church. So there's no kind of conflict of interest within the church there. So then, whatever happens next, which is the circumcision, it's not about a salvation issue. And it's not about something going on within the church. Well, why then? Why is it that Timothy needs to be circumcised? Have a look at verse 3. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, that's Timothy. So he, Paul, circumcised him, Timothy, because of the Jews, or in other translations, for the sake of the Jews who lived in that area. Paul circumcised Timothy for the sake of the Jews around. And repeatedly in the book of Acts, where it talks about Jews like that, it's talking about Jews that haven't yet accepted the gospel message. So really, what Paul's doing is saying, Timothy, we're going to get you circumcised for the sake of those who don't yet trust in the message of the gospel. And notice, once they've done that, which is seems like an almost controversial act based on what's just happened in Jerusalem, do you notice what they do? Verse 4, as they travelled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for them to obey. See, Timothy's been circumcised, but the very thing that they go and deliver to the Jews is to say, you don't need to be circumcised. Your salvation is based on faith in Jesus. So, really, what's happened with Timothy is a bit of a pragmatic exercise. It's for the sake of the gospel, it's for the sake of the mission, this is what has to happen. Now, it's obviously this is happening in a very specific time, and it's a very specific case with Paul and Timothy. And thankfully, that doesn't mean that we need to be circumcised and go and reach Jews. But there is a sense that, to some extent, being radically committed to the gospel means that we are called to go out. We're called to go out and reach those around us. Now, for us, it probably doesn't look like being circumcised and going to Jews. But it might mean living in a slightly different culture to what you're used to. It might mean being slightly uncomfortable some of the time. But have a look at verse 5. See what the result is. So the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. Do you see what's amazing about these two tiny little passages? They throw up two seemingly contradictory questions. But both little passages end, verse 41, he went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. Verse 5, so the churches were strengthened in faith and grew daily in numbers. See, what's in light here? What's going on in the book of Acts? Just in this little point, actually, it's God's work for the message of the gospel to spread. Now, just for a couple of minutes, we're going to think about how this relates to Albania and Team Albania going out this summer. Why are we going out to Albania for a week? Well, we're going out to support Will, who is radically committed to the gospel. And we shouldn't overlook how hard that is for Will. Just like we've seen with Paul, it would have been difficult. It would have been emotionally wearing. It would have strained relationships. And in the same way, speaking to Will year on year, he goes out to villages that spread rumours about him and he can't go back for a year or two. He goes out and he partners with people that then say things about him. And repeatedly, just like we see in the book of Acts, there's opposition. There's little things that make it very hard for Will to go about his ministry. So the reason we go out, part of the reason we go out, is we want to support him and we want to partner with him for the sake of the gospel. We want to learn and see how he adapts in the culture around him. But the prime reason that we go out is for the ongoing ministry. The reality is that 23 of us are going out this summer for 1 week. And that's not our prime ministry for the year, is it? When we go out, it's not emotionally draining to the same extent that we'll faces all year round. It's not relationally compromising. We don't have to work hard culturally to get to know the Albanians. It's all of those things a little bit, just a little taste. But our prime reason for going is to support the ongoing work of Will and for the people around him and to learn and to observe and to help and to be encouraged and to encourage him that for him and his ongoing ministry, he'd continue. And actually for us as we come back, we'd learn something of what Will does. We'd see the gospel spread in action, and that would have an impact in the church life here and in the lives of people in North Arts. Let's pray just as we close then. Father, thank you that despite these challenges in Acts, despite these problems with people and circumstances, the word of the gospel continued to spread and flourish. Father, we commit Will to you this evening, and we thank you so much for his radical commitment to the gospel over many years. And we pray that that might continue. And in the face of hardship and difficulties and strain, Lord, that he might persevere, that he might be able to say that the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew in numbers. And Father, we pray this evening that that would be true of Christchurch Baldock and the area of North Harts. Amen.